Well, Adam Pengilly from the City Morning Herald. Someone had a win here who's not a Queenslander yesterday, because into summertime, his tip at Warwick Farm saluted. Double figures as well, if you don't mind. Adam, good morning to you, mate.
Morning, boys. How are we all recovering from last night? I am still speechless after that final 10 minutes last night. Very hard to stomach for a New South Wales fan.
How did we lose it?
We can't lose those games, Loz. How do you lose when you're leading with 10 minutes to go playing against 12 men? You just have to win those games. You have to win
and
those
tries,
games.
Two tries scored against you.
Exactly. And one on a shift from inside their own half, and another one where a prop out leaps our fullback. Like, you know, I couldn't believe what I was watching last night, Loz. I'm sure you're probably feeling the same when you're watching that final 10 minutes. But to be fair, I don't think New South Wales played very well at all. And full credit to Queensland. I know this show goes all throughout Queensland. We've got to pay our credits to them. They were enormous in the moments that really mattered. But if New South Wales wanted to win this series, they had to win a game like that last night in those circumstances. And to throw that away in the last 10 or 12 minutes, it's just not good enough. I stand by my comment yesterday. I think they'll be much better in games 2 and 3 of the series, and I can still see them improving and doing well enough to potentially win in Brisbane. I know a lot of people will laugh at that comment, but you've also got to say that Queensland didn't play great as well last night, and there's so much more improvement left in them too, Loz.
No, when you break down the game, like it's like Queensland dominated the opening 10 and the last 10. And New South Wales had every reason to be in front and well in front, but they just couldn't do it. Queensland's scramble defence was excellent. Our attack at times was just not great. It was frantic early. We weren't able to build pressure. There was no fluency in attack. We were trying to put on these nice little set plays, and I don't know, it never worked. And Queensland's outside men were rushing, putting us under pressure. They were stopping us in our tracks, and it looked at times we just didn't know how to break them down.
Yeah. It's a worry given how much possession we had. I had a quick look at the stats after the game last night, Loz, and I'm not joking you, every single stat with New South Wales dominated possession, you know, run meters, time in opposition half, time in opposition 20, all of that stuff. And then you look at the scoreboard at the end of the game and we lost.
The one that matters, Adam.
Exactly.
The stat that matters. Who won and who lost?
Yeah. So it's going to take an enormous effort to turn this around in 3 weeks' time to win up there.
Who's
Brisbane,
in the firing line then, mate?
Oh, yeah, it's a good question, Loz.
Mate, the text line is going off today, and the number one target seems to be the skipper.
Yeah.
Who I thought tried extremely hard too, by the way.
He did. But I thought Gus made a really good point on the post-game coverage last night, and I appreciate you guys probably wouldn't have been able to see it. It might have been Joey, actually, saying that, you know, Teddy's getting his hands on the ball so many times. He's playing almost like an extra forward, but he needs to start linking with his halves in those good ball areas, in attacking plays. And I didn't see him linking up with Cleary and Luai very much at all last night. With all that,
but they know that before they pick him, though.
That's true.
And they train like that. Oh, well, I'm assuming they must train like that. And so Teddy doesn't play the way they want him to play, or is that selection issue?
Yeah, good point. I think he probably, that's just his game style, isn't it? He wants to get his hands on the ball one and two off the right.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. That's the way he plays. So that's the way he's either been training, or they've got him to do a specific role at training and he hasn't followed those instructions during game night.
Yeah, and one thing that came out of camp in the last 10 days was that they'd done so much work on defence in the build-up to game one. They prioritised that, Freddie prioritised that, to make sure they're going to be really steely in defence, but it looks like their attack just was not working whatsoever. So even look at the two tries they scored in the second half. They were both really scrappy tries. Of course, the other one, which I'm still not convinced was a try, to be honest, and then one off a kick as well. So when you really break it down, New South Wales just had no fluency whatsoever in attack. They need Latrell back. I think that's an absolute given. If he's fit, he's got to come straight back into the team. I'd love to see them use Cam Murray more effectively, Loz. I just don't know if they're getting the best out of Cam Murray in that New South Wales setup at the moment. He's sort of coming off the bench and playing a bit of a role through the middle, and I'm not quite sure he's really playing to his absolute strengths at the moment. So how they get the best out of him. And if I'm going to be honest, the Tevita Pangai Jr. experiment did not work last night. I know he tried hard. He tried to bring a bit of fire and brimstone, but he gave away or made a couple of really crucial errors. That penalty in the first half when Hudson Young was trying to strip the ball one-on-one and Tevita didn't notice and came in as the second man in the tackle and gave away the penalty. And then obviously that offload in the second half, which led to the Selwyn Cobbo try, which put Queensland back in front. They were two really crucial mistakes. So whether he retains his spot for game two or not, I'm not too sure. I wouldn't expect Freddie to make mass changes, Loz. I don't know what you think about that, but I reckon there'll be a couple of changes to be made in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, I don't think he will. Although, you know, I wasn't expecting Tevita Pengai Jr. to be there in game one either. But I suppose the talk will be in and around Tedesco and whether you move Latrell back to fullback or whether you put him straight back into the centres. But I actually thought Stephen Crichton was very good last night for us.
Yeah, he was. I thought he had one of his better games, and I thought his defence was relatively solid, and he looked a little bit dangerous in attack. So, but let's be honest, Latrell's fit. He's coming back in. And I know there's going to be
Where are you playing him?
I'm playing in the centres, for sure. I have to play him in the centres. I don't know if I could play him at fullback. I know there's going to be question marks about Tedesco, but geez, I tell you what, do you really drop your captain? Like, who's been so good for you for so many years now? I know he hasn't been in great form this year. I understand that. Geez, it would be a brave, brave call to make a move on him.
What about Nico? We always had our concerns about how do you fit him into the game, and that's exactly how it panned out last night.
Yeah, Orange is a 17-man effort, it was. You know better than most that it is. You need every single person to make some sort of contribution, especially if you're going to beat a strong Queensland team like that. And they've been going with this two-hooker policy for a number of years now. It suits their game style. It suits them to a T. We seem to have a guy on the bench just to cover in case of an emergency. And I get that. You want someone who can cover a few different positions, but you need to get more than 11 or 12 minutes out of your 17th player, don't you? Like, you need to get some more contribution. If Tommy T didn't get that HIA last night, was Nico getting in the game?
It was hard to get him on.
Where was he going to play?
I agree with you. The only thing I would say, in particular over the last 2 or 3 years, with the amount of instances people get sent to the HIA, well, for HIA, you're probably in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, I can go with four forwards, but early in the game, if I get an outside back ruled out, that's going to leave us short. So we've got to have someone there as cover, but it's one of those rolling of the dices that you make as a coach, I suppose, that you just go, well, we're going to have someone there. But everything you say is true. I don't know how you get him into the game last night.
Just a quick comment before you go, Adam, on the situation at the Dragons.
Can you believe it, Jared? Can you believe what happened yesterday? You're right, Danny Widler had the news first yesterday morning that Jason Riles had turned down a four-year offer from the Dragons to take up this role within the Storm system. They did a press conference yesterday for another promotional thing. Early yesterday morning, Ryan Webb and Andrew Lancaster, the chief executive and chairman, and they were asked about the Riles thing, and their impression was, and the comments were, that everything was still going well. And then half an hour later, it had all gone belly up. They got the phone call, and Jason Riles wasn't going to the Dragons. I've written in the Herald today that there was a phone call made to Isaac Moses yesterday morning to sort of inquire about Shane Flanagan still from the Dragons. So I think he comes back into the picture somewhere. We know that Dean Young and Ben Hornby were the other two in the frame, along with Jason Riles last week. I believe the Dragons officials met Dean Young last week while he was in Sydney with the Cowboys before they played their game against Parramatta. They've just got to get it right, Jared. I don't know what the right answer is, but, you know, this is it's not a good look for the club, is it? When your number one coaching target, you're giving him a four-year deal, you're pretty much giving him...
I reckon blessing in disguise.
Well, it might be. And the one thing about a guy like...
I reckon blessing in disguise.
Lucky, the one thing about a guy like Shane Flanagan, he's not going to sit there and want a four-year deal. He'll just say, "I want just give me 2 years. I'll do my best in 2 years to turn this club around."
He's got experience. He's been there before. He has not got the time to sit there and waste. He doesn't expect any fan, any board member to go, "Rightio, if we don't perform, keep me." He's get in, do the job now. As soon as you sign that contract, you are accountable. I reckon it's going to be a blessing in disguise for them.
Well, we'll talk about this more with Vonnie. We're very late. It's 7:03. Adam Pengilly, thank you so much. Have a good day.
See you, boys.